I want you to know you can bring any problem that you ever have into the presence of God. Your problems are welcome in God's presence. You might as well bring them into the presence of God. It's not like he doesn't know about them anyway. My problems are welcome in God's presence. And that helps me to know that there's nothing that I'm dealing with that I have to carry by myself. I don't get extra credit for holding it to myself. When I come to God, I can start talking about, you know, like Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, anything. He said, don't be anxious, but instead pray. And I'm so grateful that there's nothing that I have to hide from God. I can bring him any problem that I have. Not just a big one, but a small one. Not just a small one, but a big one. God doesn't have a scale where he weighs my problems and says, that's too big, I'm busy. And on the other hand, God doesn't have a must be this tall to ride sign in his presence where he says, if your problem isn't a certain amount, I'm not concerned with it, because he's numbered the hairs on my head and he cares about what I care about. But lately I felt the Lord challenging me, and I want to start this teaching with you today, and this will just really be the beginning of it. But God's been challenging me, instead of always just bringing me your problems, which you're always welcome to do, why don't you start bringing me your thoughts? Okay. Instead of coming to me, you know, like in an emotional state where you're all worked up and you're so depressed and you're so anxious and all these other things that I know I'm not supposed to be, but I get there, and then asking God, will you please suck it out? It's been a while. Have y'all prayed any prayers lately? God, would you please suck this out of me? Have you ever come to the Lord for lipo, is what I'm trying to say. Where I'm asking God to deal with the consequences, and that's fine, and I would not discourage you from that. There's nothing that you brought in here today that God hasn't seen before. Please don't ever be arrogant enough to think that you have created a new category or species of sin that God is somehow going to be repulsed or surprised by. And please don't ever think that you're going to bring God something that he would be intimidated or insulted by. At the same time, wouldn't you like to find out what it would be like that instead of letting the problem get to the point where it's so tangled up inside of you that you have to bring it to God as a full-grown problem, what if you started involving God earlier in the process at the level of your thought? When I read you the scripture from 1 Kings 20, it was a surprising scripture for me that God led me to preach, because the main character in the passage is not King David, or, you know, man after God's own heart, or Moses, who was no ordinary child, but a king that we don't preach much about named Ahab. Now, the only time you ever hear Ahab's name is in connection with the problem that he caused. And Ahab caused a lot of problems. In fact, for any of you who feel like you're too bad for God to bless you, or you can't like really give what God has for you, the Bible says in 1 Kings 16 that Ahab was the most wicked king who ever lived. All right, so that's who we're talking about. And the Bible says that 32 kings came to attack him, a confederacy of 32 different kings led by Ben-Hadad, who Ahab fought three different times. And I'm just giving you all this background to remind you that Ahab, in 1 Kings chapter 20, the king who needed for God to do something, well, let me read it again. Isn't it crazy? I just read it again. That the king of Israel, the nation that belonged to God, didn't even ask for God's perspective before he agreed to the enemy's demands. If you notice, there is no section in this scripture that Ahab stops and calls for a prophet. There is no section in the scripture that I read you that Ahab stops and says, well, let's see what the Lord says about this. There is no indication. See, Ahab, I hate Ahab. I hate Ahab because he caused all this trouble for the nation and then wanted to blame the enemy for an agreement that he himself made with the enemy. How many times in my life, in your life, have we asked God to deliver us from an agreement that we made with the enemy without consulting him? Oh, you're one of those kinds, the liposuction doctor said to me. You just want me to suck it out. You just want to bring me the results of your habits and have me fix them without adjusting any of them. And Ahab is so quick to agree with the enemy. I wonder how many times in your life have you agreed with the enemy without even consulting God? You know what I mean by agreed with the enemy? It comes along in the form of anxiety. I'm not one of these people who wakes up to my first alarm clock. In fact, my default disposition in the morning is despair and discouragement. Holly, that's too loud of a laugh. You can just keep it down on that front row. My default position. And so in some ways, the verse I read you in Philippians, I know you don't think these two scriptures go together, but I'm going to show you how they do, because Philippians 4:6 to someone like me is just about the most annoying Bible verse in the Bible, where Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. And I want to file that. My first instinct is I want to file that in the court of useless advice. And I also want to argue with Paul because his kids didn't have Snapchat. And so when he's telling me don't be anxious about anything, he didn't even have kids. So how are you going to sit here and advise me on a situation that you never had firsthand experience of? And I want to argue with Paul, don't be anxious about anything, because to me at first it seems like an impossible demand. So then he says something else. He says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, this is the end of a letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church. This is not the first thing that he said to them. This is not your annoying friend that gives you unsolicited advice. This is a church that he had a great relationship with. This is in a time of his own imprisonment where he has more to worry about than they have to worry about. And when we see the word anxious, I know you can't relate to this, but a few people in the church have had more anxiety in the past year than they ever had before. Just a few people in the church. Just a few dirty sinners. And what the devil did to me over the course of the pandemic is very interesting. It's almost by getting me to indulge in the little thoughts. I noticed that he had tempted me to make agreements that I didn't even know that I made, that almost caused me to give up what God gave me. An agreement with the enemy. So Ahab has a wife named Jezebel, and she has taught him to depend on idols. She is a Phoenician woman. She does not serve the God of Israel. She has taught them to serve the rain god, Baal, the rain god. But he has just been proven false on a mountain called Mount Carmel under a prophet named Elijah. And now after a state of famine, the nation is weakened. And so Ben-Hadad makes a strategy. I will attack them while they are still weak from the famine. And it's not just one enemy that you got to worry about. The Bible says that he went and got 32 other kings. Because you need to know, before you agree with the enemy, he always brings company that you didn't count on. An agreement with the enemy. Have you made any agreements with the enemy that need to be broken today before you can move forward into the promise that God has for your life? Do not be anxious about anything. I don't like that verse because, frankly, I like my anxiety. And I'm not talking about as a medical condition. You know, terms get so culturally loaded. They mean different things to different people. I am not telling you not to consult a professional. That is not the point of this sermon. But many of us have made an alliance with anxiety somewhere deep in our hearts. And we have actually grown so accustomed to our anxiety that it now feels normal to us. And peace feels foreign. And so now you get used to just how waking up feeling weird all the time. And now you get used to feeling on edge all the time. And you begin to think that it is normal because it's all that you've ever seen. And I love what the elders said to Ahab. This is what I believe the Spirit of God is saying to somebody today. And it's the message God gave me. Do not listen to your enemy or agree to his demands. Just because my enemy speaks something doesn't mean I have to agree with it. After all, it is not the voice you hear that determines the life you end up with. It's the voice you believe. And before the enemy can get you to agree with it, he has to get you to believe it. So in order to get you to believe it, he'll get somebody to say it. And how many have found out you cannot believe everything you hear? Not these days. I was reading the list of things that Paul said that we should think about because he's trying to give us a new perspective. You don't have to believe everything that crosses through your mind. You don't have to accept everything that comes across your heart. He said, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Now, he says there are some things we should think about. Verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. But see, I stopped at part one when he said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, think about such things, because I wondered, how do I even know anymore what that is? How do I even know what is true? How can I possibly know in this culture of headlines and highlights? Now you don't even just believe the headline. You believe the retweet of the retweet of the retweet of the retweet. How do I even know what is true anymore? How do I even know? Because if I make an agreement with the enemy, that's why I was excited about YouthX. I think that if we can undo some of the untruths and keep our young people from making some agreements with the enemy. No, this is what I'm praying. This is what I'm praying, not only for this week, but I'm praying this for my kids all the time. Y'all know I've got a good prayer life because I've got 3 children that are still living in my house. Y'all know I got a good prayer life because one of them has his driver's permit. Y'all know I got a good prayer life because I have a beautiful 10-year-old daughter, and oh, I'm praying every day. Don't let me make agreements with the enemy. Don't let me make an agreement with the enemy. You know, sometimes you get in this self-pity mode. And you kind of go with it and you start thinking, oh, I'm just worthless. I'm just this, I'm just that, I'm just the other. You know why you do that? Because it takes the pressure off for a minute. Wow. You know why Ahab gave up his silver and his gold and the Bible said his best wives, not. You can have the other ones, but Lord, let me keep the best ones. I'm going to take your silver and your gold and I'm going to take your best wives and your best kids. In other words, I'm going to tax the land. Ahab said, okay. Because if I agree with you, maybe you won't attack me. So sometimes we find ways to make the attack stop that actually make the battle worse and weaken us on the inside after the fact. This is the root of addiction. Oh, I was praying for our kids when y'all were standing up earlier. I was praying, God, don't let them make an alliance with something early in their life Don't let them make an agreement with something. Some of us make agreements with things that provide us with temporary relief, but they are false gods. They cannot save. They do not serve us. They do not satisfy us. They are broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So if we're going to preach about anything, if we're going to preach about repentance from sin and dead works, we have to first understand that before the promise, oh, this is my sermon, before the promise of God can be received, your agreement with the enemy has to be broken.
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.